With a ringing of that school bell, we return to the Warren County Radio Bible School. And I would invite you at this time to get your Bibles and turn to the epistle of 1 John. Now, that's not the book of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but the epistle of John. You see, John wrote three letters. Then we call them epistles. And you'll find them toward the end of your Bible, just before the book of Revelation. You have 1st and 2nd and 3rd John, Jude, and Revelation. And we're going to be looking at what John wrote as an old man in the epistle of 1st John, particularly where he wrote in 1st John chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is begotten of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." Now, while you're turning to that passage in the epistle of 1 John, I will remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond Mountain, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., and all are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And in this Bible school today, we're going to be completing a Sunday school lesson written many years ago by E.A. Elam for the Sunday schools of July 22nd, 1923. Now let me turn to you and turn and read to you from Elam's notes. The following are some of God's comments in regard to the way we must treat others, our brethren, our neighbors, our enemies. Hereby we know love, that is, in this way we know what love is, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whosoever hath this world's goods, and beholdeth his brother in need, and shutteth up his compassion from him, how doth the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither with the tongue, but in deed and in truth. 1 John chapter 3, verses 16 through 18. To love one's neighbor as oneself is the second commandment, and is likened to the first and the great commandment, to love God. I want to read to you what we read about love that Paul wrote in Romans chapter 13, beginning in verse 7, and then to the end of the chapter of Romans 13. Paul said, "Render to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe no man anything, save to love one another. For he that loveth his neighbor hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is summed up in this word, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Love, therefore, is the fulfillment of the law. And this, knowing the season, that already it is time for you to awake out of sleep. For now is salvation nearer to us than when we first believed. The night is far spent, and the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk becomingly, as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and jealousy, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." In order to learn that to love men, we need to know that we are to render all their dues, and owe no man anything, save to love one another. Love is a perpetual obligation that we have to our fellow man. And to fulfill the law of God concerning every duty to man, we must love man. To love one's neighbor as oneself is to commit no sin against him, not to commit adultery, not to kill, not to steal, not to covet, not to work ill in any way to anyone. Love, therefore, is the fulfillment of the law. To love one's enemies is to pray for them, to feed and to clothe them, and to do them good for evil, and to overcome their evil with good. There is an entire chapter about love in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And let me read to you a few verses from 1 Corinthians 13, particularly verses 4 through 8. And we'll learn about 8 good things which love will do, and 8 evil things which it will not do. Here it is, 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 4. Love suffereth long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not its own, is not provoked, taketh not account of evil, rejoiceth not in unrighteousness, but rejoiceth with the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things, and love never faileth. On the other hand, we read, he that loveth not abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. 1 John 3, verses 14 and 15. If a man say, I love God and hate his brother, he is a liar. No man can love God and hate men. In 1 John chapter 4, in verses 21 and 22, we read these words, if a man say, I love God and hate his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, cannot love God whom he hath not seen. And this commandment we have from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. It brings tears to our eyes and grief to our hearts to behold the course many are pursuing. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 4. We read about the greatness of love in the New Testament. We read that love is of God, and that God is love. Love is greater than speaking with the tongues of men and angels, greater than the gift of prophecy and miraculous knowledge and faith, greater than giving all one's goods to feed the poor and one's body to be burned, greater than faith and hope. It is as great as God is, for God is love. To love is to know God. Not to love is not to know him. To love is to be begotten of God, to abide in God, and God abides in one who loves. To love the brethren is to know that we have passed out of death into life. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 14. Since this, the evidence of salvation of the passage out of life into death, or a passage out of death into life, how many professed church members are destitute of the proof that they are the children of God? Now that brings the text of the Sunday school lesson to a close. But there are, it is at the end of this lesson, thoughts on the golden text. Let me go back to you and read the golden text to you, which we read a few months ago, or a few classes ago. The golden text is 1 John chapter 4 and verse 16. God is love, and he that abideth in love abideth in God, and God abideth in him. And the thoughts on that golden text are as follows. We read, we sing, we talk, we write about love, but the most blessed thing of all is to love. To love God and man, enemies, neighbors, and all. Love is life. Hatred is murder and death. Now with that, it brings the Sunday school lesson that E.A. Elam wrote to a close. But before we stop talking about this great man, John, the Apostle of Love, I want to read to you his three letters, because we have those three letters in 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. And you find them toward the close of the New Testament. Now, they're not very long, so they only occupy just a few pages. In fact, the 2nd John and 3rd John are so short, they might even be on the same page in your Bible. But you find them just before the book of Revelation. It's 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, Jude, and Revelation. And let me introduce to you what we're going to be reading. When we read this epistle of 1st John, the things John wrote against in his first epistle sound like things consistent with a heresy that arose in the post-apostolic church. This post-apostolic heresy was called Gnosticism. This false philosophy had various forms, but they were all based on the claim of a secret knowledge that enabled one to interpret the teachings of the apostles. Part of this secret knowledge was the idea that flesh was inherently evil, and that Christ came to save our spirit from our flesh, and that flesh, because flesh was evil, that Christ did not actually come in the flesh. He only appeared that way. And having saved our spirits from our flesh, then we can sin in the flesh without having sin in the spirit. And therefore we were not bound in the flesh to keep the commandments of God. Now, John never lays this heresy out in so much detail, but we can infer from the things that John wrote that that's what he was writing against. And while John wrote these words too early for what would later be called Gnosticism, it is remarkable how that the false doctrines that John confronted were consistent with these later Gnostic philosophies. In John's day, these philosophies were causing disruptions in the fellowship and love among those to whom John wrote. Perhaps we could have called them proto-Gnosticism, or some of the thoughts and ideas that led to this later full-blown Gnosticism. And John combated these false doctrines, and in combating this, John affirms four things. One, Christ did come in the flesh. Two, we may not continue in sin. Three, the knowledge that we have from the apostles is complete, and we don't need additional knowledge and secret knowledge. And then number four, and that is that we must love one another. And it's the way John wrote about how we are to love one another that he became known as the Apostle of Love. I have in my hands a Dixon Study Bible. And if you have one of those, you have a treasure. They're not in print anymore. But it's an interesting what in that study Bible it says concerning this epistle. It says, this epistle is a solemn warning to Christians of that day that they cannot hold views of Christ that are untrue and have true fellowship with God. John's position is a refutation of the superficial and illogical notion that it makes no difference what you believe as long as we are in earnest. The utter unsoundness of such a theory is apparent on the face of it. We cannot believe what is false and, being influenced by it, live a life that is true any more than we can believe that a 10 o'clock train leaves at 11 o'clock and not miss the train. It makes a vast difference what you believe to be the truth. Your conduct will be governed by your beliefs, and the assumed sincerity will not save you from the consequences of false ideas.